Hello, guys. You are listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. My name is Lucy, and I'm here with you on this bright and shiny Friday morning on the student special hour. We've got lots of really great programming coming up for you today involving UBC Right to Play is here in the studio with us to chat about upcoming events and what they're all about. And starting at 10:30, we are going to be having some special programming for the Transgender Day of Remembrance and Awareness. So we're going to be featuring some trans artists. We're going to be talking to SASC about what's going on with some of the promotional stuff that they're going to be doing. So before we get started on that, we're going to start with some music, some good old music, and get you started there. And we'll be back in a few minutes to talk about some UBC Right to Play.
Hey, it's Prophecy Sun. Meow. You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Well-known pimp, narcotics king, big-time racketeer, back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
You need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life. Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV. My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Come on. I won't let you down. Follow me.
Exploding Head Movies. Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Shackles I made in the town to be free. Be it freeze, be it free. keeping on. Show me my silver line. I try to keep on keeping on. I try to keep on keeping on. I try to keep on keeping on.
All right, folks, welcome back to CITR 101.9. That was Mesa Luna with Church Garden, and before that we had First Aid Kit with My Silver Lining. I had to stall a little bit there because I ran into some technical difficulties. Nothing new, same old, same old. Okay, so I'm here with UBC Right to Play. How's it going this morning?
Good.
Great, thank you.
I'm good. Yeah, we've got two people. It's always fun. We've got lots of overlap when you got more people in the studio. So let's just jump right in. What is UBC Right to Play all about?
So UBC Right to Play is a kind of subsidiary of Right to Play, which works internationally to help promote sport and health in children all over the world, especially those that are underprivileged. So here at UBC, we work just to raise awareness for Right to Play and what they do, as well as we do raise funds to send to their main office, so they help promote all the rest of their great activities and programs that they run.
Fantastic. That's so exciting. And how did you guys get involved in Right to Play?
I actually got involved through one of my good friends, Heather, who was with us earlier before she lost herself.
She lost her phone.
So I got involved in my second year.
Fantastic.
A group of my friends were big involved into it as well. A couple of them were the presidents consecutively, and they pulled me in and wrapped me up in it.
Wrapped you up. I love that. And it's sort of one of those things that seems like if you get involved, you just fall right into it, hey?
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, they suck you right in with their love.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome people, so it's easy to stick around.
That's super sweet. And so who runs Right to Play? Is it the executive?
She does.
There we go.
Well, technically, I have help, but just here at UBC. And we do actually get some support from the organization as well. So,
and how do people get involved if they want to be involved in UBC Right to Play?
Contact us through our Facebook page, or you can send us an email at rtp@ubc@gmail.com. So that's rtpatubc@gmail.com.
I was a little confused there. I was like, lots of ads going on. Yeah. That's sweet. Especially because it's radio. You got to double check that kind of stuff. And what are some of your main initiatives that you guys are working on?
One of our main initiatives is community outreach. And so we have a program called After School Play. And what we do is we bring teams of about 4 to 5 volunteers to schools or community centers, mainly in East Vancouver, where some of the kids don't have the resources or the support to access after school sport, be it through a soccer team, baseball, hockey, whatever they're interested in. And so our volunteers come to the school and provide an hour and a half of free activity and sport after school. So it's trying to give them access to pursue their goals and to benefit from all that sport can give in terms of leadership skills and cooperation and camaraderie and teamwork. And so we don't want anyone to be deprived of that amazing opportunity, because it's one that I've had, and one that Tess has had, and one that Heather's had. So it's something that we're all very passionate about as an organization. So that would probably be our main.
That's awesome.
Community oriented.
And it
initiative.
Goes. Does that go all the way through the year, or is it?
We start in term two, just because it's hard when we recruit volunteers, because our club's week isn't until the third week of September. So sometimes it's hard to get that organized for when school starts in early September. So we do a lot of volunteer recruiting and orientations at the school throughout first term, and then we start volunteering second term.
Yeah, absolutely. And the semester runs away from you, hey? Like, all of a sudden,
it's so
November.
Quickly. Yeah,
yeah, like, there's what, like 2 weeks left of school?
Yeah, and we've got exams soon, and it's like, what? I just got back. Like, what is happening?
So
totally, it does run away from you. That's sweet. And then you can start bang off right at the beginning of term
two.
Exactly,
yeah. So I think we're actually all pretty much good to go. So we've got a couple new schools this term, which I'm super excited about, and one that we hadn't worked out last year, but that was an awesome experience for volunteers in the past. So I think it'll be really good.
That's so exciting. So if you want to get involved, if anyone wants to volunteer, there's an opportunity.
And it sounds like the more the merrier.
The more the merrier, absolutely, especially with sports, hey? Mm-hmm. More people, the more fun it can be. And so do you guys, what kind of outreach services do you guys provide? How do you guys let people know about what's going on with you?
We've done a couple of different things in the past. It really just depends on who's running the show that particular year. We've done stuff at halftime at the Thunderbirds games. We've had booths out at Main Mall and places like that. Last year we did a blender bike, which was really fun. We run a fundraising flag football tournament in the spring, which is a really fun time as well. And really just trying to get people aware about what Right to Play does. We've got some first year reps this year that are spreading the word throughout the residences, which is good as well. get What to Write to Play does out when they're young.
Yeah, no, it's so true. The first years are, it sounds kind of evil, but the first years are the most susceptible to sort of like new information and more molding.
Yeah. Take them under your wing.
Everyone's trying to like steal them into their group, you know?
Exactly.
Come over here. Imagine Day is just this like, almost like this, like the hyenas like feasting on the first years. Everyone's like, come here.
Yeah.
And so you guys have an event coming up that's this Tuesday. Can you tell me a little bit about what's going on with that?
Yeah, we're actually going to have a trivia night at the Copper Tank. And the Copper Tank has very nicely offered to give us proceeds off certain food and drink items for the evening. So we're going to have a bunch of Right to Play specific trivia. So if you guys want to research up before you come. And there'll be also some stuff that's just miscellaneous trivia. And we'll also have prizes for the winner, as well as we're going to have a raffle while we're there. So all in all, it should be quite a fun night. We'd love to see you there. That's Tuesday, November 24th. We're going to try and get things started around 7 and with the trivia around 7:30. So yeah, we'd love to see you all there. Should be a fun evening.
Absolutely. And I love that they're giving you some proceeds from food and drink. So even if you aren't, if you're just like, I want to eat out on a Tuesday night,
go to the Copper Tank,
listen to some people, do some trivia, or do it yourself, and help out Right to Play.
Yeah, beer is good any night
Tuesday like it's Friday. Come on, guys. This is the way. We're students. We got to take advantage of every opportunity. Well, that's so exciting. So any last things that you guys want to talk about before we head out? Any last initiatives or programs that you want people to know about Right to Play?
I would say just if you're not sure that it's for you and you want to learn more, just contact us via Facebook or email and just come to our next general members meeting just so you can get a sense of what it is, because it is a really awesome organization. The people are really awesome. A little biased, but it's true.
Yeah, totally.
So just like you have nothing to lose by giving something a chance. Just come out and learn about it. If it's not for you, that's okay. And if it is, it might be a great opportunity for you to get involved. So
absolutely,
don't hesitate.
Just give it a shot. Give it a try. That's fantastic. Yeah. So one more time, shoot me out that email. So it's Right to Play.
Yeah. So it literally is the letters RTPATUBC@gmail.com. And I know that sounds confusing, but if you just spell it out, it actually doesn't
it's
seem
not
as
too
confusing
bad.
Anymore.
It's just the at and the at are getting, do get a bit
but
lost.
But if you search us on Facebook, the email's on there as well. So
oh,
you
fantastic.
Can always get us that way.
And there's more information about how to get involved and everything on your Facebook page as well.
Yes.
So that's all there. So if anyone was interested in Right to Play, wants to volunteer, head out to even just wants to support, you can head out to the trivia night on Tuesday, November 24th, 7 p.m. Trivia starting at 7:30. Oh, I'm like
well done.
I'm like banging on this. Yeah, it should be quiz. I should get extra points for this. And have some beer and listen to some trivia and have an awesome time. Support Right to Play. Well, it was great having you guys in the studio. So thank you so much for coming out and talking a little bit about it.
Yeah, thank you.
And hopefully we can have you on again, because this was short but very, very, very sweet. So thank you so much. So that was Right to Play. And next up, we're going to have a song by Traces. This is Water Table.
I'm not afraid to die. Canada-based rock trio LA Witch returns to Vancouver to play Thursday, December 10th at the Cobalt with special guests Feels and Eric Campbell in the Dirt. Doors open at 8, the show starts at 9:30, and the show is 19+. Find your information and tickets on sale now at timberconcerts.com or in real life at Red Cat and Zulu Records.
Using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
Indie rock bands Taco Cat and Sally Ford are co-headlining on Saturday, December 12th at the Cobalt. Doors open at 7 with the show starting at 8:30. This event is 19+. You can get your tickets today online at timberconcerts.com or at Red Cat and Zulu Records.
And we're back with the Student Special Hour. I'm here, Lucy, and we're going to be starting off in a couple minutes. Transgender Day of Remembrance. Very exciting programming coming up for you. We've got trans artists. I'm going to be playing some poetry and talking to Sask about the Trans Day of Remembrance and all sorts of exciting stuff. So before we do that, I'm going to be talking about a couple events that we've got coming up. There is so much going on in campus. Holy smoke. So I'm going to mention a couple things that are happening. First of all, CITR is having a listening party today at 4 p.m. in the old sub. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be fun. We're going to listen to some tunes, hang out with the CITR exec and staff and cool people, and it's going to be super sweet. After that, a lot of us are going to be heading to the Big Lebowski Beer Garden happening in the old sub once again, and that's going to be starting at 7 o'clock. So if you don't have much to do tonight, or if you want to do some pre-drinking, maybe try it out at the Big Lebowski Beer Garden. Also, Wednesday 25th, 6:45 p.m. at the UBC Global Lounge, there's going to be the UBC Polish Club is having a film night where they're going to be showing the film Warsaw 44. And popcorn's going to be $1, and it's just going to be, it looks like it's going to be a really great video. It tells a story of young Poles destined to enter adulthood in the cool days of German occupation. Despite the war raging around them, they are full of life, passionate and patient, living as though each day was their last. I love that little explanation of the movie. So I think that's going to be super great. As well, UBC African Business Forum is November 21st to 22nd. It's the first ever student-run business conference on African enterprise in Western Canada. It's organized by the UBC African Business Club, and it's going to be based on entrepreneurship, finance, geopolitics, infrastructure, and tech. And so you can learn more about that at abforum.ca. Again, sorry, so much stuff to tell you guys about. I'm really stoked, so I'm talking fast, but UBC Improv's back-to-back show. My friend Mary is a part of this, and she posted on Facebook a pretty funny way of explaining it, so I'm just going to read it off. Here are some excuses and things that people might say. I'm busy with school stuff. Well, laughter is a distressor. #fact. I'm resentful because I haven't got to see Advanced Workshop perform yet. Now's your chance. They're performing for the first time in this show. I'll just go to the next one. You're running out of time. This is the second to last show of the term. But the proceeds don't go to children. Joke's on you. They all go up to Lace Up for Kids. I prefer all the events I have go to have baked goods available. Surprise, there will be brownies. UBC Improv's got it all, folks. Check it out. It's at 7 o'clock and the doors are at 6:30. So that looks like a good event that's going to be going on. As well, Dioko is happening at the Pip Pub UBC on November 27th, and that's run by AAI. They're going to be having special performances by Missy D and Lady Jams, and it's going to be a really, really good time. So check that out, running by the African Awareness Initiative. Always a big fan of those guys, those folks. And November 27th, there's a Man Up Friday with Freddie, November 17th. It's a drag drag show, drag tribute to Queen, Volume 2. Looks like it's going to be a really good time. It's at the Cobalt, and that's starting at 8:30 p.m., running late. So Friday, November 27th, Man Up Friday with Freddie, drag tribute to Queen. Drag tribute to Queen. Stumbling over my words here. November 29th, Fall Edition, Queers and Beers Craft Beer Tasting Party at the Cobalt. This looks like such a good time. There's going to be food trucks and amazing beer, 24 beers on tap, including many local favorites, 2 new tasters of craft beers. You can hang out in our heated makeshift patio, a.k.a. the Cobalt parking lot. Tasty snacks, pool tables and pinball, chill hangouts. And once again, that's at the Cobalt, November 29th. Keep on going. Lights on the Roof, ROTR presents. This is going to be a really, really nice event that's just sort of talking to the collective community art piece, representing what foods means to you. And it's just a kind of relaxed atmosphere. They're going to be decorating the garden up on the top of the nest. It's going to have crafting workshops and all sorts of great stuff. And what else we got? Oh, and then last but not least, very not least, Lace Up for Kids, November 26th. Registration has closed. Actually, it closes today, so if you still want to be a part of it, it's still available. It's Thursday, November 26th at 6 p.m. This is a really, really great opportunity to support a really awesome cause. Skate and celebrate the 8th annual Lace Up for Kids and help us support BC Children's Hospital Foundation. All right, now you're probably a little tired of hearing me talk, so I'm going to have someone else talk. Because it is Transgender Day of Awareness, I wanted to show one of my absolute favorite poets, Ivan Coyote, and this is a piece by them called Dear Younger Self. And after that, we have Ashley coming on from SASC. She snuck in while I was talking very, very quietly because she's the radio pro. And after that, we'll be talking to hear her. So here it is, Ivan Coyote, Dear Younger Self.
Dear Younger Self, floss your teeth. It turns out you will eventually be a working artist, just like you always dreamed. And a man named Stephen Harper, I live in a country called Canada, it's right above you. A man named Stephen Harper will one day rule this land, and he will care nothing for artists, or queers, or even healthcare. And it turns out you need your teeth, and you alone will be financially responsible for them. And floss is cheaper than even your commie, pinko, East End lesbian dentist will be. Dear younger self, quit smoking. Please see above. I am not going to say this again. Okay, I am. Quit smoking right now. Your mother is worried that no one will like you, or hire you, or even love you, if you look like that. She is wrong. This next bit is really important. Are you listening, younger self? Your mother does not mean to intentionally do you harm or cause you to fear who and what you truly are. She just worries because she fears that what the world might do to you, and because she doesn't know any successful tattooed butch storytellers with biceps and a brush cut yet. But one day she will, and she is going to love the hell out of future you. Trust me on this one. Do not cave into the pressure from mainstream society to fit in. You do not and will not ever fit in. And one day you will realize you don't even want to anymore, and that your difference is inherently tied to your beauty and your bravery and your giant, mystical, invisible brass balls. You will grow to love these balls, younger self, and they will swing majestically between your ears. Inside the head, you will hold up proudly. Do not cave into the pressure from the queer community to fit in either. Make your own decisions. Trust your own heart. Being butch is not just a bus stop on the highway to transitioning, except when it is. You will learn to love your butch self, and if you ever do decide to go on testosterone, build yourself into a good man. The last thing this world needs is another misogynist prick. Be the man your father accidentally taught you to be, even if it was only because you didn't have a brother to help him out in the shop. Make and keep long-term friendships, younger self. You are going to need them, and they are going to need you. This is actually one of the most important things you will ever do in your entire life. Whenever possible, be polite. In the long run, it turns out your good manners will serve you better than even your most righteous rage. Find a tailor. Find a tailor. Be good to them. Get your pants hemmed properly. I was meaning to talk to you about that, Jack, if you would. These ones are new. Anyway. Okay, good. All right. Get your pants hemmed properly and learn what it feels like to have your clothes really fit your body. People come in all shapes, but clothes do not. This is a wrong that can be easily righted. The world is going to try to squeeze you into so many things that do not fit you, but your clothes need not be one of them. Seek out a mentor. Listen to what they have to say, and then follow your own path. Keep a journal, because one day, someone is going to look up to you and even ask you for advice. And you are going to wish you had taken better notes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Esther Bergman.
All right, and that was Ivan Coyote with Dear Younger Self. I forgot, my deepest apologies, I forgot to mention that it did have a little bit of coarse language the next half an hour in some of the music as well. There will be a little bit of coarse language, so listener discretion is advised, and I'm really sorry about not mentioning that beforehand. So today, Transgender Day of Remembrance and Resistance, as Ashley kind of added on, I think that's a really great little addition to the name. And so first of all, how are you doing this morning, Ashley?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Good. We're starting off this morning, so we're starting off strong, I think so. So a little bit about Transgender Day of Remembrance, in case you don't know, any of the listeners don't know what I'm even talking about. It's a day that's set aside to memorialize those who were killed due to anti-transgendered hate or hatred or prejudice. It's held in November to honor Rita Hester, whose murder on November 28, 1998 kicked off Remembering Our Dead web project and a San Francisco candlelight vigil in 1999. So Rita Hester's murder, like most anti-transgender murder cases, has yet to be solved. So not everyone represented during the Day of Remembrance and Resistance is self-identified as transgendered, but it's sort of an open space to talk about transsexual, cross-dressers, otherwise gender-variant or gender-fluid persons, each victim of violence based on bias against transgendered people. It's bringing awareness. I mean, bringing awareness and resistance for people who don't have the voices, for people who are not featured in media, which is a problem, erasure and removal from popular media sources. And that's why it's really important to CITR to talk about these things, because we get an opportunity. We have no buddy to that we owe anything to, except for our listeners and except for kind of our own personal mandate and our own responsibility to give the voices to people who don't get an opportunity to maybe speak or who are not featured in the radio as much. So that's why I'm really passionate about Transgender Day of Awareness and Resistance. It's a tongue twister, and that's why I'm really excited to bring some of this content to you today. Tonight there's going to be a candlelight vigil. Sorry, just a vigil. I'm not sure. I threw candlelight in there. I'm not really sure if that is candlelight vigil. And a march on Friday, November 20th, that's today, 6 to 9:30 p.m., march and a rally gathering at the Vancouver Art Gallery, Robson Street side, 6 p.m., and they leave around 6:15 p.m. approximately. This is where the first transgendered Day of Remembrance in Canada took place in 2001, 14 years ago, so it's very symbolic. And they're marching eastward down Robson Street to Seymour Street, heading north to 515 West Hastings Street. Then there'll be a vigil memorial at 515 West Hastings Street, which is the SFU Harbor Center, room 1700. There will be greeters directing those in need, so don't worry about getting lost, and it'll start about approximately 6 o'clock. So, now that you're tired of hearing my voice, let's hear Ashley's. So, Ashley, you've been on our show before to talk about SASC in general, but I want to bring you back to talk a little bit more about sort of SASC's approach to kind of creating a non-gendered space, or all-gendered space, I should say, and a safe space for trans people as well. Do you know what the decision was around that, or if there was a decision made, kind of how that came about?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been at the SAS now for about 3 years. And during that entire time, we have been a support center for folks of all genders in trying to create a safe space for transgendered and gender nonconforming individuals. A lot of anti-violence organizations, not just within the city, but within North America, are very focused on specific genders, predominantly women. And historically, a lot of spaces that were safe for women were not safe for trans women. And there are even still organizations today which are trans exclusionary. So we here at the UBC campus really wanted to make sure that we have a safe space for all of the students, staff, and faculty who are accessing our services. We believe that anyone can be a perpetrator of violence and that anybody can be a survivor of violence. And statistically, trans women are one of the most at-risk groups of sexual violence.
Yeah, and that's amazing. I remember in my gender relations class, my professor mentioned that it was the only one in Vancouver, and I was mind blown. But then I thought about it, and it's so true. And it's really exciting that it's here on UBC campus, and that you folks are at the forefront of this sort of new idea of open space and safe space. It's really exciting. What does Transgender Day of Remembrance or Resistance mean to you?
That's really a good question. I mean, I think, first of all, when I think about my involvement and the SASC's involvement in the events that we do for the Transgender Day of Remembrance and Resistance, I myself, I'm white, I'm cisgendered, I'm straight, so I do have certain privileges. So whenever I do engage in these kind of events, I try and be very mindful of letting other people talk first who are trans or who are gender nonconforming, because I'm going to view things in a different way, and I, you know, essentially walk in the world with a different privilege, with a different understanding. And not being trans myself, I'm only going to hear stories and experiences and try and be a good ally and do a lot of research and reading. But it's part of my job as being an ally to raise up those voices. So unfortunately, no one from Pride UBC could be here today. So I'm sort of here in their stead. Mm-hmm. But to me, like, I think it really is about remembering the lives of those lost to discrimination and transphobia. To honor those lives, to honor those experiences, but then to also think about what we can do as a community to create safer spaces for transgendered and non-gender non-conforming individuals, and how we do to take those actions. You know, what sort of guidelines and information are we using to host events, to create actions, to make change, making sure that during those processes that we're really aware of the community that it's most affecting and finding ways for their voices to be the integral part of that process, not, you know, cisgendered people speaking on behalf of transgendered individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fantastic point. I mean, absolutely. And it's kind of ironic because we are cisgender people talking about, but it also is important to start talking about the conversation in our own communities. I mean, all we can do is try to speak about it and open conversation. And thankfully, there is many more people talking today on Transgender Day of Remembrance whose voices will be heard as well. So that's why we're here for you. CITR is here for you. We've got way more shows all the way through the day, representing all sort of different voices in terms of this event. So keep tuning in all day to hear more voices and more conversations about this. So you just on the same lines of what you were talking about before, but kind of what kind of ways can people overall day to day open up and kind of create a more of a safe and inclusive space in through language or through just day to day sort of experiences? Because I think resistance and support is important, not only in these sort of special circumstances, mm-hmm. but 365 days a year, you know, 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I mean, I think there's so many different things. I think it really does start with, as an ally, being aware that, first of all, like, it's an imperfect process and you are going to make mistakes, especially, you know, as a cis or straight person, you've been socialized in a certain way and to think a certain way. So it's really hard to unlearn those processes. So really it goes back as well to the education piece. It's really important to educate yourself. I think we're so lucky here on the UBC campus that we have departments like the Gender, Race, Sexuality and Social Justice. We have Pride UBC who do amazing work. You know, in the local community, we have centers like Catherine White Holman Wellness Center, PRISM. There's so many great people doing this work that do educational workshops that folks can attend where they can learn more about inclusive language and how to create safer spaces. And I think as well, just sort of day-to-day reading. I mean, there's so many different websites and blog pieces that you can read. So recognizing that it's your job as an ally to educate yourself as opposed to expecting transgendered and non-conforming folks to educate you. Like, that's a really big piece. And then I think doing that education, doing that learning, trying to raise up the voices of trans individuals, and being mindful of the unique barriers that people are going to face when they are accessing support services. You know, things like if you have a gender box on your application form or mm-hmm. your intake form, sort of making sure that you're checking in with people about their pronouns, not making any assumptions about people's pronouns. And I think just having things within your space that sort of show visibly that you're a safe space for folks. So whether that's certain pamphlets or certain posters, sort of being very mindful of the language that you use and how you advertise events. And I think also like using that intersectional approach, right? Like, you know, making sure that you're sort of looking at how can you decolonize your space as well at the same time. So yeah, there's so many different things. There's a lot of research out there. I think we have some pieces on our website, which is amssask.ca. But as I mentioned, there's all of those other great resources that I talked about. So yeah.
Oh, fantastic. That's so much great things to start for people to start doing and to start engaging with. And I think the one most important thing is to just start talking about mm-hmm. it and to start even thinking about it. I think you mentioned the GSRJ program at UBC, and I think that's a really significant example because now it is called Gender, Race, Sexuality and Social Justice, where previously it was called women and gender or something. Mm-hmm. So it's fantastic just that the use of language, we start talking about it and the use of language will start to change and be more inclusive. And we don't even realize, you know, until we start thinking and we start talking about it, how exclusive we are being. So we're going to come back and keep talking to Ashley in just a moment. But I want to get a chance to play a couple trans or non-conforming folks on the show today because I did some research and I'm really excited about some of the new music that I found. This is a rap hip-hop artist from New York. And their name is Angel Hayes. They identify as pansexual and having an androgynous style. And they're kind of at a forefront of representing certain folks, and they've done such an incredible job as a performer, and I'm just really excited about this song, so I'm going to play this for you. This is Moonrise Kingdom by Angel Hayes.
I was born all alone, you the same, babe.
I was born all alone.
Naked we were as we came, babe.
Naked we came, we would go on.
Oh no, I ain't running in vain, babe.
Oh no, I ain't running too far.
It's just some beast from the wild can be tamed, babe.
You know who we are.
They don't know nothing about us, nothing but love. Kingdom only made
Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
In terms of diapering of babies...
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What's this Pilate? He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Rush Show on Sienna.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Hey guys, you're listening to CITR 101.9. We're here and we're back with Ashley talking about Transgender Day of Remembrance. We've only got 5 minutes left to talk about this, but we're going to talk about what SASC is running this afternoon, this evening. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Ashley?
For sure. So the SASC, UBC Pride, and the Equity and Inclusion Office on campus are partnering to do a Transgender Day of Remembrance vigil. This will be taking place today at 3 p.m. in the art gallery in the Nest. If you want more information about the vigil, you can go to Pride's Facebook page, and you can get more information on the event there. Mm-hmm. I know that prior to the vigil as well, Pride UBC will be hosting a couple of workshops, some on allyship, some on solidarity building. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more about these topics, whether you're an ally or you identify as trans or gender nonconforming, you can find that information also on their Facebook event.
On the Facebook event, yeah, and that's running from 1:30 to 2:30 in the Nest 2521 room and 2515. There's an intra-trans solidarity discussion in 2521 and an allyship discussion in 2515. I have no idea where that is. Somewhere in the heart of the Nest, but but there's more information if you look up 2015 UBC Transgender Day of Remembrance. All the information's there about the vigil and about all the discussions going on. So thanks so much for coming on the show today, Ashley. And do you have any last kind of things to say about the day or anything that's going on?
No, I think I'll leave it there for now. I think it'd be really great if folks can attend the vigil later and actually hear from folks. On our Facebook page, the AMS Sexual Assault Support Center, we did post a poem today, which I encourage people to take a read of. It's very powerful. But yeah, I just hope that for folks today that do attend the vigils or thinking about these pieces, that they're taking care of themselves. And I know that the SASC is here if you do want to chat to anyone today.
Fantastic. Thank you so, so much for coming and talking on the show with me. Once again, we're always happy to have you. My bitch. Oh, wow. Sorry, that was my fault. So we're going to finish off the show with a song by The Clicks, and this is Oh Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll be next up. We have Nelly with The Cat's Pajamas. And keep tuning in all day for more programming for the Transgender Day of Remembrance.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, I've fallen down, but I can get up. Everyone.